Hi, everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And here we are starting off the year. Brand new. Here we go. 07. Kick it in. How are you dealing with it? Have you ever noticed there are certain emotions that you like to have and certain ones you don't like to have? You know, like being frustrated, feeling powerless, feelings like that. Have you felt bad so far this year? Here we are on the second day, you know, it's a good feelings and bad feelings. And, you know, you could say to yourself, I'm going to do better this year. But let's take a look. I mean, I want to look at what are the feelings that are the least welcomed. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. The unwelcomed feelings in your life, the ones you don't particularly like. Like, I know people who hate feeling love. Yes, they hate feeling love. They feel fine as long as they're not feeling love. But when they feel love, they feel attached. They feel dependent, they feel needy, you know, all those things. What are some of the other feelings that you hate having? Are there any emotions you really don't like to have? I don't know if you're going to call them just emotions. For example, gossip. Now, gossip is not an emotion, it's something you do. But most people I know who gossip don't like gossiping. They don't like doing it. They don't like being a part of it. They regret it after they've done it. So what happened? How did you get caught up in that? Most people I know don't like anger. They don't like being angry. You know, they get angry, and they don't like being angry, so they want to not get angry. And yet here it is, just, you know, barely 30 hours into the new year, or 36 hours, And now suddenly you've already gotten angry at people. How about impatient? You get impatient. You say, oh no, I can't. Your kids are doing something and you turn around and you see, you know it takes patience to bring up children, but you find yourself impatient and you bark at them and then you justify it. Then you say things to yourself to say, well, you know, it's hard being a mother and therefore I'm impatient and, but you don't like it. You see, you don't like being that way. You don't want to be that way. So, yet, you are that way. And we're going to talk about these things today because I'm going to try to free you in some way from all these unwanted feelings. So, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'd like you to send me an email right now since I'm using new technology. And here's what the email will tell me. Name to me some of the emotions, some of the feelings that you don't like to have. And you can send them right now if you're near a computer to Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at thepositivemind.com. That's one word. Armand at thepositivemind.com. And we will be taking those right now as they come in. And then a little later, we'll take phone calls as well. But right now, just send me the emotions or the feelings that you don't like to have, and I'll build my program around those today. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You think about things that you do all year, and you say to yourself, I wish I didn't get that way. Like, for example, frustration. What is that feeling when you feel frustration? Why is it sometimes you're at ease, and other times you're frustrated, you know, you feel like you're just out of control. And here's what I think. I think there are times when you've got your stuff together, when you're calmer, when you're saner, when you have control over even the negative reactions. And then there are other times when you're at the edge, when you're walking around already tense, that you don't have control over the emotions. And so what happens is you say to yourself, here it comes, somebody steps in front or drives in front of you and you're driving a car and they cut you off. Now, I could be with people who could see somebody, if I'm driving the car and somebody cuts me off, the person in my passenger seat could turn around and say, oh, how could they do such a thing? Look at the way that guy just cut you off. And I may think to myself, what an expert driver, that he could cut me off so closely. You know, he could do it so closely that he absolutely knows, because I know in France and in Italy, if you're a driver and you drive really well, you drive within inches of other people. It takes a great skill. So one mood I may be in would be to say, all right, very good, good skill. Or another mood I might be in is to be angry and say, how could you disregard me in such a way? And then, of course, you could build it out. You know, it's people like him who kill the universe, who created the invasion of Iraq. You know, it's like, you go wherever you want to go with it. Because the funny thing about negative emotions and negative feelings is you kind of feed them. And you feed them in such a way that they become real. For example, it may not be real that if you feel impatient, you know, and you say to yourself, well, I'm a little nervous, you just drank 3 cups of Starbucks or something, and then all of a sudden your children call you up in the middle of it, and your children say, I don't know where I put my sweater. And you feel yourself, you know, just having had your caffeine intake, and you yell at them, I told you your sweater is in your drawer. And you say to yourself, how could I do such a thing? Now, you may say that to yourself. If instead you're with somebody, and that somebody says, yeah, you know, isn't it tough with children because they really don't consider the feelings of their parents, and you justify it in some way, then you make that impatience more real and more valid. We've built it. We fed it. Or if you get angry at someone, and then someone in some way justifies it. Or if you talk to someone about being angry at someone, and that person sympathizes with you. Or if you talk to somebody who you work with about being angry with somebody else at work, but they're angry at that person also, they'll validate your anger. And now you feed it. Instead of asking yourself, wait a minute, what is it about me that's reacting to this? But you're feeding it. Now, there's an old, and I know I'm distorting this, a Buddhist may not have been Buddhist, but I think it's Buddhist. A Buddhist student says to his teacher, I have two wolves inside me. Two wolves. One is peaceful, and the other is ferocious and vicious. This may have been a Native American story. I'm not sure. It sounds more like that. I have two wolves inside me. I don't know if Indians have wolves inside them. But anyway, may have been different Indians. I have two wolves inside me. One is peaceful and the other is ferocious and vicious. Which one will dominate? Asked the student of the wise man. I think this is a Native American story, actually. And the wise man said, the one that will dominate is the one you feed. Now, that's kind of the way it works. With feelings, the negative feelings that you don't like, when you indulge them, when you feed them, they become more real. Now, this is not to say that negative feelings should never be. Sadness, grief, anger, all of these are real stuff that could go through, that you have to go through in a way. But sometimes they're real, and sometimes it's just like an addiction. You go through these things. Let's look. We got a couple of emails already from people. And this is, people have sent us emails when I ask the question. Here they come, 13 responses. Wow. Of responses of people, emotions that people don't like. This is amazing. Do you realize how many people sit at computers during the show? All right, here comes Lori. Lori says, I hate anger and jealousy. Yeah, okay, let's put that on our list, anger and jealousy. Feelings I don't like. Overwhelmed. Impatient, complete loss of hope. Complete loss of hope, huh? Wow, I never thought about that hopelessness. I think about helplessness a lot, but I think about hopelessness. Being misunderstood. That feeling where I'm misunderstood and frustrated. Those feelings. Good, thank you. Here come a little more. Anger at a person who's being unfair in tennis, unfair line calls, unfair serving, foot faults and stuff like that. You know, frustration on the tennis court. negative feelings. Look at them. They come, just, you people just sitting there. Jealousy, anger, remorse are my top three. Happy New Year to you too, Alicia. And here's more. Fear. I don't like feeling fear. Among the resolutions I made this year include the conscious decision to avoid the following feelings. Oh, great, Ken, because this is exactly what I want to talk about. It's not so much to avoid them, but it's avoiding the indulgence in them, you know? And his are fear, uncertainty, despair, indifference, and hopelessness. Yeah. Any of these sound familiar to you, my friends? All right, how about this from Irene? Helplessness when one is ill and can no longer function productively, having been very active prior to health problems. In other words, feeling that physical helplessness, feeling it when you're sick, you know? Here's more. Pessimism. Worry. Disdain. Now, there's a marital emotion. A lot of people get married, and part of what they feel in while they're married is they feel this kind of disdain, you know, and they have this, like, kind of a negative feeling. Here's someone else who says, Lisa, who says, competitive and the need to dominate situations, and I hate when I feel, this need to dominate everything, you know, and I get competitive. Sometimes, our writer says here, I feel depraved, and I want to indulge in reckless, immoral activity, knowing how much it hurts me and the people I love. You know that indulgence feeling, feeling indulgent? Like I'm going to do this that I know is bad for me, and I'm going to do it anyway. And it's almost like the monster takes over. It's almost like whatever it is inside you that's motivated to your negative, you know, to the negative side of it, it takes over. How about melancholy? Hey, we talked about melancholy the other day. You know, melancholy is an interesting feeling. Melancholy, a melancholic person is a person who is a, it's a cross between, a cantaloupe and lassie. That's melancholy. No. Melancholy is the feeling that no matter what you do, nothing gets better. That's melancholy. That no matter, it's not just sadness, it's not just despair, but melancholia is a kind of a mood that you stay in. So there's another one of those terrible feelings. Now here's somebody else who writes in, the feeling I hate most is the feeling of lust, because it dominates me. When he feels this lust, it rules the hen. You know, it rules the hen? The roost. The hens in the roost. Oh, okay. I understand. Ryan, Armand DeMille here with you at The Positive Mind. Have you related to any of these, my friends? We're going to talk about all of them. Pessimism. I hate being pessimistic. And by the way, if you missed it, it's armand@thepositivemind.com. That's who's calling us. It's amazing. You have become part of the radio program. You're now active, interactive radio, and we're doing interactive radio. We get you on the phone a little later, which is different. But now the information you could pass on to us. Here are more feelings coming in, flooding in, terrible feelings. I feel tormented. I feel like a victim, and I start to blame people. I hate myself when I start blaming people because I know better than that. Yes. Don't you often feel that way? I know many people feel that way. You start to blame everybody for the way you feel. You feel like a victim, sure. Here's another one that says frantic and hysterical. I hate feeling frantic and hysterical. Boy, that's like a poison when you get that. You know, when you start feeling that way and you're nervous and you're frantic and you're hysterical and you can't be stopped and everybody's saying, you know, you're like manic. And people are coming over and saying, do you calm down? And you're saying, I can't calm down. You know, when you feel that thing and you're out of control and you don't have it. You just don't have that cloak to put around the chilly shoulders of this anxiety. You don't have that thing that warms it up. You don't have that, It's so tough. It's so tough when you get lost in your emotions. Lost in them. Lost. Not when you feel emotional. It's not bad to be emotional. It's not bad to have emotions. But lost when they're out of control, when you have no say over them, when they rule you. You are not your emotions. Your emotions are a part of you, but you're not them. I hate when I hear another letter coming in. I hate when I begin to hate my own body. Now that's called, in psychological jargon, that's called dysmorphia, where you begin to hate some aspect of your body. You can't stand some aspect of your body. Oh, that's a terrible thing. I hate being secretive. Here's another one from somebody else who says, I can't stand being secretive. And the another one who says, I hate when I overact. My gosh. So look at all what people are saying. Here's Tom says, impatience along with yelling. Existential dread. Now, existential dread is really right up there, Tom. Existential dread. Along with painful consciousness, too late of loving alternative. Painful consciousness, too late of... I don't understand that one. Painful consciousness, too late of loving alternative. Well, you're going to have to send me a little more on that. But the impatience along with yelling, you know, you get impatient and you start yelling. But this, you know, existential dread, this kind of despair that you feel, this kind of tough stuff. When you lose control of your emotions, when they kind of take you, you know, and it's like they take you by the tail and they swing you around the room. Like, you know, I think of Howard Dean. Remember Howard Dean, the nominee, when he started on his little emotional tirade that cost him the nomination? You know, he's coming back now. Everybody's kind of waiting for him to lose it. You know, Britney Spears. You know, we see the actors and the actresses, or we see somebody who throws something and hurts somebody else. You know, I mean, these are people who are saying, I don't have the controls. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of those are chemical. If you're under stress, the more stress you have, the less likely you are to be able to exercise control over the things you don't want to feel. Because the less available hormones you have that would keep you nice and calm and peaceful, they're just less available. So you don't have much help. You have your will. You have your mind. You say to yourself, I don't want to be reacting this way. This is 2007. I don't want to start off being angry at the bus driver. What's the matter with me? But already, you know, the season's been stressful to a lot of people because they had it. Do things and buy presents and deal with family. And they haven't given themselves much room. And then there you are. You're caught up in these emotions. And you just don't like them. You don't like them. And they're already happening to you. So make a list, my friends. Make a list of five of your worst. Right? The five that you... I can't stand it. Look at that. We have 26 more responses in just a few minutes. I guess people really do care, you know? People do care. Here, we're being made to feel less than. Now, this is being made to feel less than. The frustration of the person not getting that he is making me feel less than something else. You see, now here, we're blaming them. The real feeling here is the feeling less than. If you call me a kangaroo, it doesn't make me hop. You know, if another person makes me feel or thinks that I'm inferior, it doesn't make me inferior. So the enemy feeling here is not them that are doing it, but me that feels it, me that carries it with me. And that's one of the ways of getting control of it, is to always perceive that. Unwanted emotions. No longer feel, I'm 70 years old. Here's somebody who writes, I'm 70 years old. I don't feel any longer really useful. Feeling non-productive is a sense of depression. Non-productive. Now, let me just tell you about this, my friend. You know, I've seen so many people make the mistake of retirement. They retire, you know, and it's like, you know, if you think about the word retire, where did the word retire come from? It came from when tires wear out and you retire them. You put treads on them. you see, so that you get them back on the road. Retirement is not meant to quit and don't do anything. It means remove yourself and do something else with yourself. And what happens very often, people who retire, they think they're just no longer going to do anything. You know, the worst case scenario is buying a place down by the beach and walking the beach. I mean, there it's almost like you choose not to be useful. But somebody who is like listening to this program, like you, Owen, you know, there's got to be a part of you that is beautiful, that has knowledge, that has information, just walking around this planet and walking out there, whether you're useful or not. If you pick up a piece of garbage off the street, like I do, if I see a piece of trash and it's just there in the street, I want to pick it up and put it somewhere because I just don't want to see it there. You know what I mean? So whatever you could do, and anyway, you are a 70-year-old survivor who's still got a smile. That's gigantic. That's a great contribution. It's a great contribution to all the people around you. After our break, we're going to be taking calls from people today. What are we talking about? We're talking about unwanted emotions, just in case you ever came by. And we've unleashed the dragon because certainly many people here are writing in. Oh, there's my old friend Ken. I felt panicked this morning because it is the New Year's and I don't want to let myself down. I find it easier to keep myself, my word to other people, but not to myself. So I also hate that my life is a mess. My house is a mess. I am a mess. I always feel like this, but I know it's not true. I hate to feel frustrated. I hate to feel things are futile. I'm always worrying so hard. Oh, sure, Janice, sure. I understand completely. You know, that's the trouble with the New Year's resolutions. You always feel this thing. And then from one of our dear old friends, Ken, he contributes shame, the feeling of shame. That's a big one. That's a feeling that could sweep over you from childhood. It could come from years ago, you know, and all of a sudden, out of nothing, comes this feeling of shame. You know, and you have to deal with it in some way. So this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, in case you just tuned in. Yes, it is A Positive Mind. You see, now emotions like anger. Some of these are very, very important emotions because you sometimes, if you were never allowed to feel it, part of what you have to do is to let yourself feel it so that you have the right to feel it and then you let it go. But if you're somebody who never gets angry and then you let yourself get angry and you say, I hate myself for getting angry, no, that's not the right idea. You know, the right idea is not to just reject it completely, but is to be able to have it, to let it go, to be able to have the choice and then say, I would rather not feel this way. But you can't give up something you've never had a right to. And anger is one of those things you got to have a right to before you give it up, you know. And don't punish yourself for having it. As so many people I see who are really dealing with themselves, you know, feeling this anger, that is, they've been holding it down their whole lives. Because they were told as kids, you know, you're not allowed to be angry. Their parents gave them an angerectomy, you know, removed your right to be angry. 212. No, we're not going to take calls yet. So I'm going to just continue with this. Hey, hope it's not too late. I was driving in my car. No, it's just too long. Rage. Yeah, right. Rage. Sure, Rosemary. Absolutely. Rage is one of those ones. Don't you? I mean, you know, there's two parts to rage. One part is you hate it because you lose it, right? And you go off on the edges and you're screaming. But the other part about rage is that it carries itself. It carries itself to such an extent that you do damage. And sometimes it's hard to undo the damage of rage. Like you say things to people you love and people around you out of rage, that it's so hard to take back. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can break my heart. Words, you know, words that people say in rage. I think people who feel rageful, I think we should wear muffles. You know, what are those things you put on? Muzzles, that's it, muzzles. A misery, just like that. Whenever I feel rage, I hope nobody listens to me. Anything I say, I do not mean. And I want to apologize immediately afterwards. But this is part of the clue, my friends. If any of your negative emotions ever impact on anyone else, you try to undo it. One of the ways of taking away the power of it. Again, remember, we got two wolves. And you got a bad one and you got a good one. Which one is going to live? The one that you feed. If you feed the bad wolf, go over and feed the good wolf a little bit. Or undo it. You know, undo it in some way. And in many cases, that requires an apology. To go to someone and to say to someone, listen, I know I reacted this way. I'm sorry. I don't like myself when I react this way. I'm sorry I did that. And don't justify it. Don't say, I did that because, I really hate it because, you know, I can't stand when somebody moves my cheese. You know, if somebody moved my chair. And therefore I get angry like that. Now, here's someone else, Angela, she writes, I don't like feeling hurt by other people who are cruel, cold, and heartless. Please tell the people to be kinder in the new year. Yes, all of you who have been cruel to Angela, stop being cruel to her. Okay, Angela, I'm doing it, if this is what you want. And I'll tell all those heartless people, stop being heartless to Angela. And Angela, there's only one more thing we've got to add to this. See, on your side, it's why are they being cruel and heartless to you? What is it that you need? You know, and what is the need inside you that you're having such difficulty with? Because on the other side of it is your need. Getting misunderstood, you know, saying that, here's somebody else who writes in, Leah, when I get misunderstood or when I did something that I'm not proud of and I can control myself, I feel inside a box with and a mute screaming and is like I can fix inside me. I hate this feeling. Misunderstanding what I did something I'm not proud of. Oh, these are such beautiful people. You know, we have a whole new source of communication. My name is Erwin, and I really dislike feeling guilty of doing what I know I could prevent. Yeah, see, both things, doing what you could prevent, number one, and feeling guilty afterwards, both of those are interesting things. An interesting thing, the Germans have a way of saying guilty. They don't have it, when they express guilt, they express it as a reflexive verb. So you don't say, I feel guilty, you say, I put guilt on myself, in Guiltenschaft. It's something like that. I mean, I know I'm making it up, and I don't mean to be making fun of German, but it's I put it on myself. It's reflexive, you know? Guilt is something you put on yourself. So this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind at the beginning here, talking about the new year and all these negative beginnings that you may have had and you may be having. And, you know, if you write down five of them and you give them little check marks, you'd be amazed at how even just being aware of them helps you in some way get some little further control over it, you know, and that's what you want to do. You want to be able to say to yourself, oh, let me stop right here. I see myself getting bent out of shape. Now, I think bent out of shape is a good phrase that you could use with yourself because, you know, like I use a phrase, I'm besides myself, meaning my real self isn't here right now. I'm walking besides it. My other self is taking over, the self that's not as conscious and not as loving. I want to be my loving self. You know, that's what I want. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to play you a little, some nice Latin music. That's what I want to play you. Just a short while. And then when we come back after that, we'll take your phone calls at 212-209-2900. We'll be right back. such a nice music. Chan Chan. Man, body of music is right. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI, 99.5 FM on your dial here in New York City. We're talking about unwanted emotions. You know, tomorrow might be a very interesting thing if we could pull this together. I have a, I ran into a magician recently, a very interesting man who had a lot to say about people and understanding people. And Roberta Atti will be here with us, and we should be, I mean, she's just the latest plan, unless she's busy, and we will be interviewing him and talking about the whole art of magic, and not just magic and hand tricks, but why certain people feel certain things about that which you don't understand. You know, why other people have to figure everything out. Did you ever get that feeling where you have to figure things out? So I went downtown to see this magician the other day, and I've got a pretty sharp eye, and I've seen magic and magic shows for a long time in my life. And if I stress my mind to figure out how things are done, I'm going to see through a lot of things. But I don't want to stress my mind. I want to enjoy the art of it being done so it looks like that tiger just appeared in that cage. You know, I want it to be that way. Because I don't have to figure it out, because it's okay with me if some things that I don't understand everything. But some people have to understand something. And then there are the people who are always explaining things. Do you ever run into people who go through these long, lengthy explanations about things, and they're just explaining and explaining and explaining? Well, here's the problem. With your most unemotional traits, in case you just tuned in, unwelcomed emotional traits, the things that you do emotionally that you don't like doing, passionately that you don't like doing, you know, indulgences that you do that you don't want to do, that you wish you had more control over, you know, part of the problem is when you are telling other people about it, they often validate it. Now, here's the problem, okay? If you're a dominant personality and you have submissive people around you, and then you, if you're the ruler, you know, if you're the one who's in charge, whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. If the people around you are afraid of you, whenever you say whatever you believe emotionally, like, I hate those people, they are so rude, the people who are afraid to confront you will agree with you. Yes, they are so rude. Yes, you're right. You're right. They validate you. So the trouble with being a dominant person in relationship to people who are afraid to talk back is that you further your neurosis every time, because every time you go to the dark side, somebody there is a yes man who's saying, yes, it's true, it's true, it's true. Now, if you love somebody, and somebody is bent again, and they feel something deeply emotional, and they say, you know, I can't stand it, he treated me so cruelly, you could still be with the person without busting this story, but you don't validate it. You don't say, yes, it's true, he's a bad man, she's a bad person. You don't have to do that. You can just go along with the way the person feels. But again, the problem with people who are dominant, and the problem why dominant people who are rageful continue to be rageful, is because the people around them are afraid to confront them. Therefore, the people who they let be around them are validating their sickness, in effect. So they get rageful, and somebody comes along and says, yes, yes, you're right, you're right. Well, if you're a dominant person, you love the person who tells you you're right. You never want to hear somebody tell you you're wrong. So you say, that's the magic words to get to my heart. You want to tell me I'm right. And so it makes you worse and worse and worse. If you want to do something, get friends who are healthy. Get friends who will tell you what they honestly think, you know. Oh, I can see that you're really blaming the other person. And I really am sympathetic with what you feel. Now, likewise, you don't want somebody who invalidates your feelings. You don't want to be the kind of submissive person who goes around with somebody who tells you everything you feel is wrong. You don't want that either. What we want from each other is to accept each other in the state of mind that we're in without challenging it necessarily and certainly without validating it. So if you have a negative, intense negative emotion, if you're frantic, if you're hysterical, if you're hating your body, no matter what it is, if you're overreacting, if you feel victimized, if somebody loves you, they'll put their arm around you and say, oh, I see you feel really miserable today. I see you're feeling really bad. And they could say to you, but they and she and he and, yeah, I could see this really hits you. I'm so sorry you're in pain. That's what I do for a living. What I do for a living is help a person feel safe with what they feel, but I don't necessarily validate their emotions and their feelings. Now, do you have a right to get angry? Of course you have a right to get angry. You always have a right to get angry, but very often anger will be the very thing that will keep you crippled, you know? You have a right to be depressed, but the depression itself, you know, can get validated, and you stay depressed. What you need from somebody, you need somebody who will accept you the way you are. That's the best kind of friend. The best kind of friend who could say to you, it's okay. You're fine. I love you. I don't believe your stories. And they don't have to say it. But you don't have to believe their stories. Think about how many people you know who have got these tremendous stories, you know, about impatience, people who want to blame their children. Ah, you know, go ahead, blame your children all you want. Gossip is all about that, you know. Gossip is all about passing along bad stories and people validating each other. You know, well, did you see what she was wearing? No wonder she blah, 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 and you keep doing this. And in a way, you're driving the illness deeper and deeper on the inside. What we want to do is free ourselves this year. We want to be not part of the negative world. We want to be part of the positive world. That does not mean we invalidate people. It means we look at people who feel bad and we say, I see you feel bad. And I feel for you because you feel bad, but I cannot tell you what you feel is right. Nor will I tell you it's wrong. Hey, we have time for a couple of calls. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you. Don't forget, tomorrow, magic. 212-20, like every day here on WBAI. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. I know we've got one there. It's the beginning. Michael's just back. Michael G. Haskin, who's back from a week away from the station. 212-209-2900. We'll take it, but here comes another email. Armand, who was the artist? Please tell me. I must have it. The artist, by the way, that you are listening to, you must have it. There's an album called Barrio Latino by Carlos Campos. He put together this that was Sonora del Sol who did Chan Chan, Sonora del Sol. So 212-209-2900, let's see if there are a couple of calls standing there. If not, we'll just go, I guess not. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Yes.
A very negative emotion that I feel upon myself is a lot of too sensitive, I think, to everything.
Yeah, you get hurt real easily, huh?
Yeah.
And when you say too sensitive, what kind of things are you sensitive to?
Every single thing that somebody says, I have to analyze it. So I have to sit there and wonder out, why are they saying this or why aren't they saying something? And
give me
why
an
did
example
they say
of that. Give me an example.
If they even say, you know, oh, I like that shirt that you're wearing. I'm thinking, well, why are they saying that? Because they just want to make
me
feel good.
Okay, so you have a suspicious mind.
Mm-hmm.
You have a mind that questions everything, right? And it questions, and you look for underlying negative emotions, or you look for some motivation in just about everything. And your mind is actively working. right?
Right.
Now,
mm-hmm.
if somebody says something positive to you, you analyze it, right?
Right.
If they say something negative, do you analyze it?
Right, yes.
So you're just going to analyze it one way or another, which says the following thing to us. It says that you're a person of the intellect, and that you use your intellect to defend yourself against certain feelings that you might have if your intellect was not so active. See, your intellect is coming in like an army, like a defense. It's like coming in and you have a feeling, you're about to have a feeling, and somebody compliments you and somebody says, you know, you look real pretty today. And then, boom, you get in there and you analyze it. So you don't feel what would really happen to you if you just let the feeling be there. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing is you have this kind of second level of defense, which is the intellect. Which means that underneath it somewhere, there's a heart that's so big that is dying to be loved. And I'm sure it's a struggle you've had your whole life.
Right.
Dying to have somebody love you. And the person who's going to love you is going to see your questioning, suspicious mind as just a way that you're doing of protecting yourself, and they're going to love you for it anyway.
Oh.
They're going to love you for it anyway. Did mm-hmm. you ever see a kitten or a puppy who's been abused as a kid, as an infant? They come out and they're shaking and they don't trust anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or horses are like that sometimes. They're just really sketchy. I mean, how do you get to them eventually? You know, when they're hissing at you and they're yelling at you or barking at you, you just ignore it. You just say, it's okay. It's okay. I see that you're feeling that way. It's okay. So that's the kind of person that you're going to find in your life.
Right.
What's your name, by the way?
Christine.
So, Christine, have you been this way forever?
Yeah, I have. And then also we're at a point where I'll be up at 2 o'clock in the morning obsessing about one thing that somebody said to me.
Yeah. And so you run it over in your mind, and you run it over in your mind, and you run it over. A lot of energy going on in your mind.
Right.
You got a lot of energy going on. Have you ever talked to a therapist about all this stuff? I'm sure you have.
Yeah. Not too in-depth, though.
It might not be such a bad idea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Might not be such a bad idea, because you've got this beautifully active mind that needs to be converted to do something a little more positive for you than just worrying about the interpretations and meanings. And what I would recommend is not only do you seek a therapist, but probably become one. You know, then you could analyze people and make a living at it.
I am. I'm doing that right now. I'm in school.
That's great. See? So your analytic mind is going to be turned around for some good. Yeah, Christine, nice to talk to you, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, too.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there. Could you turn down your radio, please?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Turn down that radio all the way.
Yeah, it's down all the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Listening to your program, I found it to be very interesting. I am concerned about the rage that I have inside of me. My grandson was shot by the police 2 months ago, and I find myself this rage that keeps rearing up inside of me, and it's affecting my quality of life, and I'm just, you know, concerned about that. I don't know.
Well, what's your name?
Lily.
Lily, it sounds to me that you lost somebody very close to you, right? And
yeah.
You lost somebody close to you, and, you know, it's the feelings of remorse and loss are so big, so huge. This is just 2 months ago?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, you're going through such a terribly painful time. And it's almost impossible to figure it out, you know, and to make sense of it. You're going through a natural grief. You're going through a horrible part of life, which is losing someone you're close to.
And the way I lost them.
Well, the way is an additional thing.
Yes.
Do you think it would have been any different if they just lost them by an auto accident or something?
I don't know, Anna. I really can't say.
Sometimes having somebody to blame, you know, takes away the direction of the sadness that you need to go through. And I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't blame somebody else, but having somebody to blame sometimes misdirects you, takes you away from your loss that you have. You have a giant loss, Lily.
I don't feel going to a therapist would help me because I just feel that hopefully time will heal this wound.
Both work. The reason why time works is as it does in all of nature, time will heal it. The problem with time is a little too long. Sometimes it takes a couple of years to get over something. The advantage of going to a therapist is you shorten the process. So the only thing the therapist gives you is it makes it a little shorter, you know? And sometimes, from what I could see you doing with your mind, you're spending your time and you're saying, because it's somebody's at fault for this having happened. And you could just obsess about that and go into that place, which could be costly to you.
Well, it's interesting that you should say that, because I find myself, a cold now seems like it just won't go away. And I know the emotions do affect the physical. So I just wanted to share that with you, hoping that maybe you might have some...
Well, I tell you what I do have for you. I have two very giant arms. You know, I have two large hands, two large arms.
Yeah.
And with them, I would love to encircle you and say to you, oh, I'm so sorry you went through this, Lily. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. And if you could take my heart and the heart of all the people who are listening, you know, mm-hmm. with
well,
you.
Well, I guess what I'll do, I'll direct it to my music. I am a singer. And
right.
I'll music is healing, so hopefully it will help me to begin to heal. But I thank you so much.
Whatever you do, if you need me, let me know, you know. And if you do create some music, I'd like to hear it.
Okay, then. Have a blessed New Year.
Thank you, Lily.
Okay. Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. You know, we're listener-supported station, but it's also, this is a part of our station that is used to, usually it was these 3 hours that we use for audience response. You know, so people take callers. You know, Majid Ali takes callers, I take callers, other people during these hours. We take callers because we are here. It is public affairs. It is responding to you as well. So we've got two new ways of doing it. One way is by this phone. The other way is by email. And the email that was sent to me today is an example. I think people are starting to line up for this thing now. We got, 25, 30 different letters today responding from people, which is great. For he have a chance to be on the show without having to talk on the air. You know, 212-209-2900. We have time for one more call. Let's take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. Here we go. Here it comes. Hello.
Armand DeMille.
Yeah, Armand DeMille it is.
Happy New Year, Armand.
Thank you. Who is this?
This is Richard.
Hello, Richard.
I was calling about, I guess I noticed some anger coming up with me, and it's residual. I guess it's old anger.
Uh-huh.
Hearing you speak, because I'm going to own it myself.
Yeah, all anger is old anger, you know, almost all of it. Sometimes you get angry because somebody steps on your toe, but almost all of it that you carry is old stuff.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying, for me, it's not always the tendency, I think, in psychotherapy is to come back to the individual level and that it, of course, I'm a therapist as well. So I'm one of those who made a living out of working with my own pain and becoming empathic with others. But
good. But the question becomes,
yes.
Coming back to it, you know, what do you eventually do with it? And, you know, it becomes like coinage. It becomes like, how long do you use the anger as to hold you back from the next step?
Understood.
And that's what happens to all of us. How long do you use the sadness before you find another love? You know, for the people who are grieving the loss of somebody. How long
do you use a negative emotion to shut other people out?
Yes, and how do you do that? And that's, you know, for how long do you want to do that? And, of course, you do it as long as you have to, and maybe with programs like today and therapists like you and like Lily or Christine, who's going to become a therapist, was it? You know, maybe.
Let me ask you a question, though. Sure. This is really important, and because I value who you are as a person. I've been listening to you probably since I was living in New York 10, 11 years ago. And now, I guess what I'm saying is that most of I guess the rage that I have is as a person of color in the culture. I live out west now, and I get a lot of ignorance around in dealing with European Americans.
Yeah.
And boy, it just lights me up. The level of this morning I found a rage just came out of, you know, being invalidated, and then something as silly as, but having a response of like bringing up the fact that this road was named after, it's called Dead Indian Road. Okay.
Jesus.
And I said, if it's called Dead Anglo Road, how would you feel? Oh, it's just a road.
I know. I could hear it in your
responses.
You're saying. And I unfortunately, Richard, I have to get going because our program is over. But that we have so many ways of validating these emotions in us. We have so many different ways. You know, there are so many different ways that we can. And my suggestion is that you sit yourself back and you feel almost sad for the people who need this.
Okay.
Who need this? It's the people who are doing it that need our pathos.
But see, I guess I'm needing them to feel.
Yeah, I hear to feel it. We'll be in touch. Send me an email, would you, Armand@thepositivemind.com? And listen, my friends, don't forget the go to WBAI.org, which is streaming this program and many others. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. Should be really exciting. We hope the magician shows up. And if he does, I hope I could find him.
Cheiragoso, cheiragoso. E também cheira muito mais desejo. Yeah.